Second. And the text for tonight is found in 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2, we'll be reading verses 1 through 5 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray again. Father, we thank you for him. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we would open up this text, Father, we pray that you would help us to understand and to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and have greater desire for him. Father, we thank you. We have tasted and seen the Lord is gracious. And Father, we just pray that you'd bless us tonight and help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Coming to him, coming to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, but not any Christ, the Christ of the Bible. It's so sad when we see people use the name of Christ, and yet we know in our heart of hearts that they're not speaking about the Christ that we know, that we believe in, that we've come to. He's the Christ of their own imagination, of Jesus Christ, maybe that they've seen on TV or heard about or somehow bought into a system of belief. But it's not the Christ of the Bible. There is only one Christ, fully God and fully man. And our text tells us that coming to him, we are those who have come to Christ and continue to come, are continually, daily in need of Christ and coming to him. As we're told, to a living stone. Christ is a living stone. He is alive himself, and he is the life giver. He has life within himself, and he gives that life to all who come to him, who are those who are coming to him. So our life we get from Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. All life comes in through the Lord Jesus Christ. He indeed was rejected by man. Most certainly the builders, those who should have been the ones to lead the people to the truth, to Christ, to the true Messiah, rejected him. And that's the case of the majority of mankind. Has been, is now, and always will be until he returns. He's rejected. And we who are his followers can expect not much better treatment than that. We too, a servant is not above his master, and we're not going to be loved. All the world is not going to love us because we truly believe and have come to and follow Christ, just the opposite. We may receive the rejection that he received. He was rejected by the leaders and by all men apart from his grace. He's rejected by men, but here's the big point, chosen by God and precious. Tonight we'll look at Christ being the chosen one of God, the precious one of God, and what that means, and the delight of God from all eternity. God himself, and yet the mediator, the man, Christ Jesus, who is the delight of the Father, the beloved of the Father, in whom he is well pleased and has always been chosen by the Father, always God with in the bosom of the Father, and yet at a point in time chosen by the Father and precious in his sight. and what that means for Christ and how we view Christ, and also what it means for us. Second, we'll look at the life that's in Christ, the life that he gives to those who have come to him. See, because in verse 5 it says, first it says that Christ is the living stone. He's the rock. He's the foundation. He's the one who is alive and lives and gives life. And Peter says, you also, speaking to the believers, you also as living stones. We're not the stone. We're not Christ. But we are living through him. Our life, our spiritual life, comes through Christ. And therefore, we're described as living stones who are being built up into a spiritual house. Everything, every blessing that we have, the life, the very eternal life that's in us that we have, comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're beneficiaries. We're those stones who have been laid upon the foundation are being built, and we get our life from him. We get all, every spiritual blessing, anything that's good, comes in and through Christ to us, so that we are these living stones, and our very life is gotten through Christ. We're spiritually dead, and if we have life at all, eternal life, it's through Christ. Lastly, we'll look at how we should view ourselves. The world makes much of self-esteem and telling people that they're good by nature, and that we should just think our whole problem is that we don't think well enough of ourselves. But there is a proper Christian self-esteem, not in ourselves, but in what we are in Christ. Everything is in Christ, every blessing. How we view ourselves, how God accepts us and looks at us, is in Christ. And we are, as the Scripture tells us, accepted in the Beloved. We are blessed in and through Christ. So first we'll look at the Beloved of the Father. As we're told, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but certainly just the opposite of the Father. Christ is the precious one of the Father. He's the chosen one, the elect one. In Isaiah 42, the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 through 4, which is quoted in the New Testament, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, it says, behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. It's God speaking of Christ. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. The Lord Jesus Christ is that servant, capital S. My servant, says God the Father here, speaking of the Son, whom I uphold, my chosen one, my elect one, where Peter says chosen by God and precious. And you can see that here in Isaiah. It's speaking of the Christ. God from all eternity is in the bosom of the Father. Within the Godhead there's love, there's delight, there's fellowship that existed from all eternity in the essence of God. But Christ became man. God sent him, appointed him as the only redeemer for God's elect, the only Savior, the only Messiah, the only mediator between God and man. And the man, Christ Jesus, delighted in by the Father. It says, in whom my soul delights. Could you use any stronger language? And think of this. This is God speaking of God the Son. God the Son who is fully God and yet fully and truly man. In Proverbs 8, we read in verses 30 and 31, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. I was daily his delight, a personification of wisdom, and speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who we're told is our wisdom. Rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the inhabited world, my delight was with the sons of men. He was the delight of the Father of God. In Matthew Luke's gospel, we come to the two events that are repeated in all three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the first three gospels, is Jesus' baptism and Jesus the transfiguration on the Mount of Transfiguration of the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 3:17, and suddenly at the baptism, this is, a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Again, think back to Isaiah, "In whom my soul delights." The delight, the rejoicing there of the Father, speaking of the Son. And in Matthew 17, at the Mount of Transfiguration, same language, same delight, same emphasis, with one little added phrase at the end. "While they were still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, my soul delights in whom I am well pleased, hear him.'" Christ was being exalted above Moses and above Elijah. We are told he's the final prophet, the prophet of God, no more. It's complete, and we're to hear him. Where do we hear him? In his word, in his word alone, not with the ears, but in the heart by the Spirit. So the delight of the Father, not only as God from all eternity, but as the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator. He always did the will of the Father, and therefore the Father loved him. He pleased the Father always, and always was delight, the rejoicing of the Father. Always did exactly what was the delight and the joy of the Father. Every bit of obedience, every bit of right doing and thinking and speaking, always, always pleased the Father. John 10:17 and 18 says, "Therefore my Father loves me," Jesus said. "My Father loves me because..." Now you would think that because he's God, he's the Son, he's God the Son, he's the Word made flesh. No, it says, "Because I lay down my life." The Father loves me because I lay down my life. You see, he always did the will of the Father. He did exactly what needed to be done for us, but at the command, the behest of the Father, he says, "I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This command I received from my Father." That's why it says, Peter says, "A living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God." He was the chosen, the elect one, the one who was specifically called out and sent to do this work, to be obedient, to be the love of the Father, the delight, the joy of the Father, to do the will of the Father, to please the Father in saving us. The servant of the Lord, the servant of the Lord, that speaks volumes, because Christ always did the will of the Father. He came with a purpose, on a mission to accomplish it, and he did accomplish it. The proof being the resurrection and the exaltation of Christ to the right hand of God, the stamp of finished, approved, delighted in work. He is called chosen and precious. Now we begin to get a sense, we should begin to get a sense of that word, precious. It's a favorite word of Peter. He likes to use that word, and especially when it relates to Christ. Christ is precious, and that word is limited in its scope of being able to express how precious Jesus is. He's precious to the Father, to God the Father, and the Holy Spirit as well, but particularly here, the Father, the elect one, delighting the Father's soul. "My soul delights in him." And proven by the words that came from heaven, and proven by the actions of the Father, not only the word of the Father, but the actions in the resurrection, that power that was exerted to raise Christ from the dead. He was dead, and yet he lives, because he was raised from the dead by the power of God. and exalted to God's right hand. So the words prove it, the actions prove it, the exaltation to the right hand of God and the all authority being given to Christ prove this, that Christ is precious to God. And we benefit from that, certainly, as Peter goes on, you also, and almost like he's saying, he comes way down. He's way up in glory there in the heights of heaven in glory, and he comes way down and he's speaking about us now. And he says, you also. But he's not coming too far down, because he's not coming all the way as far down as he could, because he's speaking about believers. He's speaking about those who are beloved of God are being built. He says, you also as living stones. So how do we live? The Bible tells us we're dead. How is it possible that we could be termed living stones? Well, the only possibility is that we get our life from the stone, the living stone, the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock, our rock and our Redeemer. That's the only possible way. Christ has life in himself, and he is the one who gives life. Again, it's to those who believe on him, to those who are his living stones, the ones who he builds up. Christ is our life. As it says, we read in Colossians chapter 3 about Christ and setting our mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. If you then been raised with Christ, since we've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, at the right hand of God, the exalted Christ. And we're to set our minds not on the things of the earth, but on the things that are above. For you died, we died, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. Our lives, our eternal life is hidden with, we are hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, we have no life apart from Christ, but this is making a statement of objective truth statement. Christ is our life, which means we have life. We are truly living stones, but our life is not derived from ourselves. It's derived from the one who is the resurrection and the life. We're told that in John chapter 11, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the life giver. In John 4:10, Jesus answered and said to the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. You see, just a drop, a tiny drop of Christ gives life. It's the tiniest drop, but it's able to give life. It reminds us of the woman who touched the hem of his garment, a woman who was in desperate condition, desperate in her soul, and all the faith she could muster was just to touch the hem of his garment. And yet that was enough to give her eternal life that never perishes. We have eternal life, and we shall never perish. And that was enough, just the touch. One drop from that living water, from the fountain of life, is enough to save, to give life, to confer life to sinners who are dead. We are totally dead in ourselves. We're deader than dead, really, fully, truly dead. And the only way we can live is through Christ. Again, the bread of life. I am the living bread, not just bread that we eat and goes away, but living bread. Living bread that we receive and are nourished by as we eat of him. If anyone, the bread, the living bread that comes down from heaven, if anyone eats this bread, anyone, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, anyone and everyone who eats this bread, it's a wide open gospel, a fountain that's opened up. All whosoever eats this bread, he will live forever. That's amazing. I believe sometimes that we hear these things so often that we just become dull to them. I mean, it's just like, heard that, you know, I heard that before, and it just becomes so commonplace. But those words are powerful. This is life eternal that can never be lost, never be taken away. That's so contrasted to the deadness of sin, the deadness of sinners in sin. And we live through him. The bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. So we have this life in ourselves from the life-giving fountain, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our life. So that's why Peter can say, you as living stones, we get our life from him. And we're being, every bit of the building is going on, we benefit through Christ, through the Christ whom we come to. Thirdly, precious to God, chosen of God, and to us. You see, all our blessings, every spiritual blessing is in Christ Jesus. But he's the beloved. What good is that to me? He's the chosen of God. He's the servant of God, the one in whom my soul delights, the Father says. He says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life. What does that mean to me? Well, it means a lot to us because it's we are well-pleasing in Christ. We are well-pleasing, the delight of the Father being in Christ. We are in him. We are accepted. We are in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, just as he, the Father, chose us in him, Christ, before the foundation of the world, before we existed, not because we did anything good or would do something good or could do anything good, which we never could, but before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. That's why we can be children of God, because we've been adopted, sons of God through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved, accepted by God, considered to be his delight and precious to him. He rejoices over us. He's pleased with us. Most of us cannot get that through our heads. We can't imagine. We can't live from day to day believing that we're accepted by God, that we're well pleased. When God looks at us, we see oftentimes, and we don't even see the half, but we see what we do. We know what we do. We know what we are. We know how much we sin. And the scripture tells us worse than that. It tells us what we really are in ourselves and nothing, the filth, the defilement, the uncleanness, the deadness. Every expression that's used is not hyperbole. It's true. It's a reality, far more than we even realize. And yet, Scripture tells us that he delights in us. We're accepted in the beloved. The perfect robe of his righteousness is put upon us, and every bit of what we do is accepted. Not our sin, which is forgiven, which we get cleansed of when we confess it, but we ourselves, our persons, are accepted because we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We're in Christ. Christ is the chosen of God. He's the beloved of God. He's the one in whom the Father's soul delights, and he rejoices daily in him. And so that is true of us because we are in Christ. We accept it. All of our sacrifices, prayers, services, if we offer them by him, are accepted and put into his hand to offer to the Father, then doubt not that they will be accepted in him. For this, by Jesus Christ, is the relative both of our offering and our acceptance. We ought not to offer anything but by him and through him. And so we are well-pleasing to the Father. For he is his well-beloved Son, in whom his soul is delighted, not only delighted and pleased with himself, but in himself and all things and persons that appear in him and are presented by him. Robert Layton. So that's our standing. And what does this to mean? Does it mean to puff us up and to be casual about sin and to build up our self-esteem? Well, no, but yes, because this affects how we live. This affects how we sacrifice and how we give our lives to God and consider Christ. It affects the way we consider and look upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious one of God, the chosen one of God, the one whom God is well pleased. So we need to see ourselves in him. By his grace, we come by grace to him. We come for forgiveness. We come for cleansing. And we're accepted because of that righteousness that's given to us by Christ. When he sees us, he sees the righteousness, not our filthy rags and our defilement and our polluted sins, but he sees us and forgives us and cleanses us day after day after day and rejoices over us, sings over us, we're told, in his delight in the, as we're accepted in the Beloved. Those who reject him, which is in the main, it's the wide road, it's the broad road. The narrow road is narrow, and few that find him. The broad road, the majority of people reject Christ. And it matters little whether we reject or neglect. Either one, you're lost. And it means an eternity of suffering and punishment by God. So it's rejected by men, but indeed chosen by God and precious. We don't want to be on that sinking sand, standing on that day, standing, basing our whole lives on what we thought was the rock, and yet we were standing on sinking sand, a profession that never will stand the storm of Judgment Day. We want to be neither rejecting outright or just neglecting. How shall we escape, Scripture tells us, if we neglect so great a salvation? It's not a shaking of the fist. It's just a doing nothing. Just a, that's fine for you, or you know, yeah, I agree with that, but it's a profession without a possession of the Christ. Finally, some applications warning not to do that, not to neglect, not to reject. It's fearful. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And we're in his hands, but it's, if we're saved, it's a hand of mercy and a hand of protection and a hand of blessings. If we're outside of Christ, it's a hand that will destroy us, that will cast us into hell and into the outer darkness where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Do not reject Christ. Receive him. Just the opposite. He bids all to come unto him. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He can save to the utmost all who come to God through him. And that's the receiving, the believing on Christ, the coming to him for life, the opposite of the rejection of men. And he is worthy, the precious one of God. Just think, those words are not just flippantly spoken by God. When God says, my behold, he wants us to think about it, to look at it, and to behold in our minds, in our hearts, with our whole souls, to behold my servant, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. Behold the Christ, behold the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, worthy of all our trust, all our hope, all our faith, all our love, and all our delight. Christ could never be too precious to us, never. There can never be a time when we would consider Christ too precious. He's abundantly beyond all that we could imagine precious. And we will never see him in all his glory until that day, until the sin is gone, until we can truly value that pearl of great price, that treasure, that hidden treasure. He should be and is most precious, and he should be to us. He's the precious one of the Father, the one whom delights the soul of the Father, the one in whom he daily delights in, because he is well-pleasing, because he is the Son, because he's loved by the Father, because he's come and to do what the Father sent him to do. He accomplished our redemption, our salvation, and he's laid down his life and taken it up again and done, obeyed the commands of his Father. This is the one who needs to be, certainly is, precious to us who are living stones through him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word and these ever-blessed truths. Father, we pray that these truths would resound not only in our physical ears, but that you would give us ears to hear and to take in, to feed upon, to be nourished, Father, as babes are nourished with pure milk of your word, Father, that we would indeed taste and see that the Lord is good, that the Lord is gracious, and delight in him. Peter says that to you who believe, he is precious. Father, we desire so much to view Christ as more and more precious to us, more and more so that we won't sin so easy, more and more so that our mouths won't be shut too often, more and more so that we can delight in what you delight in, Father. We thank you. We're accepted in the Beloved. And Father, we just pray that these truths would bring glory to you and blessing to your people. Father, we thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.